There we go. And the coffee shop workers are going on strike, so it'll be close. You're exactly right. None of that is true. Hallelujah. Those statements are all false. You guys know this automatically, that truth is whatever corresponds to reality. Truth is what is really real. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. We operate our lives based upon truth all the time. If on the way home from Miracle Camp, the driver of your vehicle says, "Hey, I heard in Michigan you're supposed to drive on the left side of the road," and they swerve over to the left side of the road, you'll freak out, right? Because that's not true. It doesn't correspond with reality. Or if you go to the doctor and you say, "I have a cold," and the doctor says, "You know what? The best way to handle colds is this," and he takes out a chainsaw and fires it up, and he says, "I just cut people's noses off if they have a cold. That'll make you feel better." That doesn't correspond with reality. That's false. Truth is that which corresponds with reality. It's so important that we get this right, because the world around us tells us we can make truth out to be whatever we want it to be. We can make up however we feel and call that truth. One of the ways this happens, I'm sure you've heard of it, is that sometimes boys are encouraged to say that they're girls, and girls are encouraged to say that they're boys because they feel like it. But that truth does not correspond to reality. God made gender. He made you a boy or a girl. We don't get to choose that truth. Another way the world says you can choose truth is live however you want, however you feel like it, and you will be happy. But that's not true. When we don't obey God, there are consequences that are destructive for our lives. Truth, I'm going to say this definition again, truth is that which corresponds to reality. Truth is what is really real. And in John chapter 8, you guys can turn your Bibles to John 8, Jesus says that he is the authority of truth. Jesus says what he said is always absolutely true. We're going to look in John 8 this morning, and we're going to see that Jesus has two hard truths for us. We're going to pick up in John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, 12 says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am,'" time out. When Jesus says, "I am," what is he saying? "I am God." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees, those are the religious leaders, said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true." So Jesus makes this claim, I am God, I am the light of the world. What does light do? Light reveals, light shows where you are. Anybody play a game last night called Spotlight? Anybody play Spotlight last night? All right, anybody do really well at Spotlight last night? Anybody not do so well at Spotlight last night? All right. The light of the spotlight reveals exactly where you are. It calls you out. It points you out. It shows what reality is, who's standing there when the light comes on it. Just like a lighthouse says, reality is here. There's a rock here. Boat, don't run into this rock. Light reveals. Jesus uses the metaphor of light, saying, "I am the light of the world," because his word reveals what is true, what is real. Jesus is the truth in the world. And the Pharisees say, no. Who put you in charge? Who says you're the truth? And in verse 16 and verse 18, Jesus says, "My Father sent me." My Father sent me into this world to show the truth. The religious leaders didn't like this. They called him a false teacher. They called him a heretic. They get so bothered that by the end of this chapter, they pick up rocks to throw at Jesus because they think he's a false teacher. But Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the light of the world. And he gives us two truths about sin in this chapter. Truth number one is this. If we do not believe in the Son, we die in our sins. If we do not believe in Jesus, we will die in our sins. This is in verse 23. You can follow along with me. Verse 23. He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, this is blunt, direct, hard truth, but it's for our good. If you have braces, anybody have braces out there?
Yeah!
A lot of braces, all right. It is kind of uncomfortable, but really, really helpful if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you have a big piece of salad stuck in your braces, right? You're kind of embarrassed about that, but wouldn't you rather have them tell you there's something stuck in your teeth than walk around all day with salad sticking out of your teeth? Truth is helpful even when it's uncomfortable. And Jesus says to us, unless you trust in me, you will die in your sins. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to die in your sins? This is helpful but uncomfortable. It means this. After you die, you will be judged and condemned to hell if you don't trust Jesus. That's what it means to die in your sins. We will all die. That is a fact. I'm a pastor, and one of the hardest parts about my jobs is that I do funerals. I've been a pastor for 13 years, so I've probably done about 75 funerals. And it's hard. It's sad. Sometimes people are old when they die. Sometimes people are young. Sometimes it's tragic. Sometimes it's expected. Sometimes families cry a lot. Sometimes they don't cry as much. But whatever the situation is, death is reality. We will all die. And the Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says this, it is appointed unto man to die once and then to face judgment. When we die, all of us, all of us will face judgment. We will go before God as our judge. Some will go to eternal life in heaven. Some who die in their sins will be condemned to hell and reap the wrath of God on our sins. Now, I know that's a straightforward, hard truth, but remember, we don't get to make up truth. We don't get to say, well, I don't feel like that's true, and reality changes. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. And the scriptures say that the reality is we will all die, and we will face judgment. Some will go to heaven, some will go to hell. What is the difference? The difference is this, whether or not your sins are forgiven. Whether or not your sins are forgiven. When Jesus says, you will die in your sins, that means that your sins are not forgiven because you've not trusted in him. Jesus is the only one that forgives sins. He lived a perfect life, died on the cross as a payment for our sins. If we trust in him, our sins are completely and totally forgiven. And when we go to judgment, Jesus, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, is our advocate. Do you know what an advocate is? It's like a lawyer. You know, in a courtroom, there's somebody who's on trial, and the lawyer steps in front of the judge and says, Judge, this person is not guilty because of X, Y, and Z. That's who Jesus is for us. When we trust in him and we go to the Father for judgment, our lawyer, Jesus, steps in our behalf and says, their sins are paid for. But otherwise, we die in our sins. If we don't have Jesus, we go before the judge with all of our sins, and we are condemned. So that is the bad news, that without Jesus, we die in our sins. But the good news is, he pays for our sins. My question for you is, if you were to die and appear before God the judge, the perfect judge, would you die in your sins? Or do you have forgiveness? If you appear before the judge, are your sins covered because you trust in Jesus? Or are you going before the judge on your own without a lawyer? I know that's a hard truth, but hard truths are for our good. And in fact, look at verse 30. As he was saying these things, many people believed in him. So Jesus said really hard things, and some people said, I need a Savior. I believe in that guy. I need my sins forgiven. And they trusted in him. And I hope you do as well. We look now at the second truth. It's a hard truth. It's in verse 31. We'll start in verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the second hard truth. We are born as slaves to sin. We are born as slaves to sin. And at first, when Jesus says this, the people are confused because they say, what are you talking about? We're not slaves. We're free people. But to be a slave means that you're not free to do whatever you want. You're shackled. You're chained. You have a master who bosses you around and commands you. You're not free to leave and go and do whatever you want. To be a slave means you're bound. You're not free. So when Jesus says, you're a slave to sin, what does he mean? He means sin robs us of freedom. You've probably experienced this. Let me give you an example of how this could work. Let's say your parents tell you to study for a math test, but you instead want to play video games. And you play video games, and your parents come and say, did you study for your math test? And in that moment, you sin, and you lie, and you say, yeah, I studied. But your sibling knows that you didn't study, and they say, I'm going to tell mom that you just lied, and you say, shh, I'll give you money. Here, $5. Don't tell on me. You pay them. Then you go to school the next day, and you're not ready for your math test. Then that lie causes you to do what in school? Maybe to cheat on someone else's paper or fail. Or you could cheat on someone else's paper. And let's say you cheat, and you pass your test and the teacher doesn't notice. Then the next test comes around and your mom says, study for your math test. What are you likely to do? Lie again and cheat again. Do you see how sin works? It ropes us in. And one sin leads to another sin and leads to another sin. I read a story, this was in the newspaper a while ago, in a town nearby me. It said 90% of the burglaries are drug-related. And what that means is 90% of the burglars who broke into people's house and stole stuff did so because they needed money for drugs. So they started using drugs, they used up all their money, then they needed more money, then they started breaking into people's house. Do you see how it works? One sin led to another sin, led to another sin, led to another sin. That's slavery to sin. Or think about gambling. It might just start with one little small $1 bet and then goes to $10, then hundreds of dollars, and before long a person is broke. It can work this way with any number of sins. It starts small and it snowballs. And before long, Romans chapter 7 says, we do what we don't want to do. We're enslaved. We're shackled to sin. And here's the thing. Some sins are noticeably bad. lying, stealing, doing drugs. Those are noticeably bad. But there's a lot of other sins that don't look that bad that are sins in our hearts. When I was in high school, my dad worked for a trucking company, and they had a warehouse. This is a cool warehouse. It was full of candy. The whole thing was candy bars and candy, and they shipped that candy out to the whole country. But they had a problem. Some mice got into the warehouse and started eating the candy. And so they needed to go through and check every single box. And so he hired me and a bunch of my friends. And when all the lights were on in the warehouse, all the boxes looked normal. So you know what they did? They shut off all the lights, and they gave each of us a flashlight that's a black light. You know what a black light is? It's like one of those purple lights. We had to go through the entire warehouse and scan every box with a black light, because only under the black light could you see if a mouse had ruined the box and been in there. You see, sometimes with the lights on, we look good on the outside, but Jesus is not just the light of the world. He's the black light that shows us what we can't see with our eyes. He reveals our hearts. Do you know one of the main sins that looks good on the outside but inwardly is a sin? Pride. Pride. Pride is when you live all for yourself. You want to make a name for yourself. You want the praise of other people. You want to seek glory. And here's the deal. A proud person can look really, really good on the outside. A proud person can get straight A's. A proud person can get their name in the newspaper for scoring a lot of points in the game. A proud person can have good manners, can go to church. A proud person can preach or lead worship. A proud person can do great things on the outside, but inwardly says, it's all about me. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world who reveals sin. And if you practice sin, you'll become a slave to that. You'll be shackled in that. So those are the two hard truths. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And apart from Jesus, we will die in our sins. And he ends this passage with some good news, though. It's verse 36. Here's the good news. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus says he, the Son of God, can take the shackles off our wrists of sin and set us free. When we trust in Jesus, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the power to defeat sin. Instead of being shackled to sin, the Spirit gives us the ability to resist sin and to walk in freedom. It's the difference of being an animal that's in a cage versus an animal that roams free. When we sin and we practice sin, we're caged up. We can't not sin. And Jesus says, I open the door to the cage. I give you the Holy Spirit so you can live freely in obedience. And not only that, but he frees us from the penalty of sin. If you trust in Jesus, you do not need to fear judgment before the throne of God. You can be free from that fear. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for anyone who trusts in Jesus. Isn't that great news? You can trust in Jesus, and you do not need to fear condemnation in hell for your sins, because Jesus Christ has paid for every sin. We can approach his throne with confidence that our lawyer, Jesus, will be an advocate on our behalf. So this is the good news. Jesus is the light of the world. He tells us the truth about sin, but better than that, he tells us that he is the Savior who sets us free. I hope that today you will call upon the light of the world to be your freedom, your power over sin, and your freedom from his judgment forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the hard truth about sin, that sin is our slave master, that sin results in condemnation, but better than that, that you have overcome every sin. We praise you that you are the light of the world who reveals not only our sin, but reveals the way to the Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.